Today's episode is brought to you by the Atlanta Vision Institute. The Atlanta Vision Institute was the first in Georgia to use SMILE, the most advanced laser eye surgery procedure. This procedure is done with a high-tech precision laser. It's simple, takes about 6 to 8 minutes in its entirety. It's an easy recovery, requiring minimal post-op care. Most people are amazed at how effortless it is. You're going to experience substantially improved vision just a few hours after this surgery. Dr. Ashraf was on staff at Johns Hopkins University. He's board certified, and he's completed over 40,000 LASIK procedures. So go check out the Atlanta Vision Institute. Check this out. You can mention my name and get 20% off a consultation. To learn more, go to atlanta2020.com/Matt. That's me, M-A-T-T. atlanta2020.com/Matt. Go check out the Atlanta Vision Institute at atlanta2020.com. Welcome back to the Atlanta Podcast. I'm your host, Matt B. Davis. Thanks so much for joining me. We are building and growing and thriving and striving and many other things that end in ING. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe, just maybe you got here because of handpicked Atlanta that has curated experiences for you all over town. Thanks to John and the good folks at Handpicked Atlanta, we are starting to reach more people. And if you heard us from there, let me know. Actually, no matter who you heard us from, let me know. It's a nice time to check in and say, drop me a note, Matt B. Davis at iCloud. If you're on the IG, drop it into the DM at ATL Podcast or Matt B. Davis on all of the platforms. That's my sexy, not-so-sexy radio voice. On today's program, Seven Chan. Seven, also brought to me by my friend John at Handpicked Atlanta. You're going to learn all about. He came to my front porch. He brought me food. You, listen, one of two things you can bring me, and I'm a fan. One, food. Two, coffee. He brought me some delicious food from Pokeberry. I should have maybe talked about it. I can't remember if we talked about it on the thing or not. We'll find out. It was yummy, and he's a fascinating dude. And for reasons I can't go into right now, I plan on having him back again. So it's late in the day. And you know me, man. I'd rather give you an episode than wait. So here it is. It's Friday. Why wait? Away we go.
Everybody's a food blogger, right? Everybody's got, you know, you look at their Instagram and like, look, I'm these two chicks and we cover every restaurant. It's just all that shit, right? So so I feel you when I feel like most other things are garbage.
There's over like 100 food bloggers in Atlanta right now, which is
I would say 1,000. I don't know where 100 is.
There could be 1,000 right now, but I probably don't know all of them yet.
So then, who do you
popping up every
so
day?
So then, who do you say yes and who do you say no to?
I mean, really, are we recording right now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, all right, perfect.
Don't tell me you're going to hide your saltiness now that we're on the podcast.
Well, I mean, I say the people that we pick are going to be, I want to say, the people that have been loyal to us from the beginning and their friends. And those are the kind of people we work with on a regular basis. And I mean, we also look at people's followers, who follows them, if they know people we know, if they work with people we know. And
right.
We try to pick... You know, we try to be selective, and like some people will be like, oh, I want this dish first, or I want this thing like, you know, in priority, and it goes to the people that are like the most loyal to us. I think we go by mafia rules. You're loyal to us, we're loyal to you, and that's really how it works. You know?
Right. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in New York. I was there until I was around 17, and then I've been moving around the country. I think this is city 17 since then, in the last about 10, 15 years.
Because...
I mean, mostly for work, and then side projects I would do. I was a performer for a while. I had a bunch of businesses, and just took me all over the place.
Yeah. Like what kind of businesses?
Well, my last one was another niche business. It wasn't like the sexiest category. We sold vehicle covers online. So cover your boat, cover your car. And I just tell people it's... if you understand business, everything you sell is the same thing. You just have to find out how to sell it, how to market it, how to put it out there, how to get a good reputation. And it doesn't matter what it is. And I've done storage companies, I've done talent companies, I've done marketing, PR, consulting.
But that's a lot between 17 and 30, dude.
Well, I started my first company when I was around 17, and then I was a millionaire by the time I was 18.
Get out of here!
And then I was no longer a millionaire by the time I was 19, and I've made money plenty of times, and I've lost many money plenty of times, and I'm just trying to find what balances me and makes me happy.
Well, what did you make your first million doing?
Well, I would just say clothing, like the clothing industry. I did well there. I sold a lot of things just really out of trunks and cars and so flea like, markets.
So like the real like New York like street life?
Yeah, exactly. Just like that. So
I'm really like so fascinated by you just, already, dude. And I had no idea. I'm so glad I picked you. Maybe we're trying to figure out. It's funny, listening audience. We cannot figure out how we know each other. I mean, I guess so. It's like I said, like you said yes to us, and I don't know why, or us, me, and I don't know why you said yes to me, not knowing, like when you said you get hit up all the time, that's kind of what I was asking too. I was like, well, why'd you say yes to me? Like,
I mean, one is we love doing podcasts, we love doing radio. I'm not the most photogenic person,
right?
And I don't like being in front of the camera or in front of the lights all the time. I'm like happy to do it, and I enjoy it sometimes, but it's not my natural state of being, you know?
Right, but usually it seems like people in food, are you gonna get you a cup?
For now, I'll get it.
Smoking the Newports, by the way. I was a Camel Light man myself for many years.
Yeah, it's a bad habit.
Newports was always...
it's a New York thing.
New York or not white people.
Yeah, I think so. But I grew up in, I don't want to say the hood, but not like a great area. And that's where I picked it up, I guess. Yeah.
Did you grow up in an Asian area?
I guess it is now. Now it's like Asian, but the demographic was like Spanish people, black people, Italian people, kind of like a big mix, you know. New York is like that.
No, of course.
But a lot of Asian people now are there. It's like the most highly densely populated place in, I mean, of Asian people outside of Asia.
Have you been in L.A.?
Yeah, I've lived in L.A. for a little while, too.
When were you in L.A.? Maybe we crossed paths.
6 years ago, something like that.
I just came back from there 6 years ago. Well, yeah,
I just got here from San Francisco.
There's a few Asian people in San Francisco. that's where my wife's from.
Oh, okay.
The fashion district downtown in L.A., I used to do like promotions, like handing crap out or whatever. Anyway, we were going door to door, quote unquote, in the fashion district. And when you go into these buildings and like the door would open and it was a fucking like sweatshop, right? Like amazing. Like you're like, oh my God, this exists. And there's like all you hear is this hum of machines, right? And like all these like Hispanic and Asian workers, they all had headphones on. And this is like 10 years ago, so little headphones, not noise canceling. But the owner, the manager, all like they're all smoking. Like, you know, they could give a fuck. Like you can't smoke inside in Los Angeles for 30 years, but they could have given a shit. I just love that about their culture. They're like, yeah, we don't give a shit.
I think different ethnicities have different rules that apply. So, you know, that counts. And if you go to other countries, it's like definitely the rules are different too there.
Right.
Yeah, like you ever see that? It's like a meme of the smoking baby, and he like smoked like a pack a day, and he was like 2 years old, and he was like a fat baby, like from Asia.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, but that was like a thing, and I was shocked by that. But I'm like, that probably happens pretty often there.
But see, here's the thing with the entrepreneurial type or the entrepreneurial spirit. There are a lot of people like you that go around and do different businesses. But I guess the stereotype or my assumption, which is always bad, right, is that when it comes to cooking, it's always these like... Jackson, did you throw that? Can you shut the door, by the way? Do you have kids?
I don't have kids. My partner has many.
They have not the best social skills, like just totally interrupt. If you tell them on the microphone, you can't. By the way, this is how I roll with the podcast. Yeah,
that works.
It's like,
jump into it.
It's like, whatever. People like it or they don't, but... All right, what's your joke, buddy?
Why did the spider cross the street?
Why?
He wanted to make a website.
He wanted to make a website. Of course I get it. Get out of here and go inside. Go play. When it comes to food, it's like, oh, I have such a passion for cooking. And I'm like, that does not seem like you if you've done these 20 other businesses.
I mean, the thing is, my father was a chef for many years before celebrity chefs were a thing. He's won. I mean, he's trained a lot of people that have won like Top Chef and Top Chef Masters.
Really?
Celebrity chefs today.
People that I would have heard of?
I don't know. Probably not like big names.
I mean, I've watched some of those shows, not in recent years, but yeah. I used to watch it a lot.
But he's been a chef forever, and I like eating food, and everywhere I go in different cities, I eat everything I can, and that's where you can't see my belly, but that's where that comes from.
But and, you were light and nimble enough to be a ninja not too long ago. So when did you start adding the weight?
I gained 30 pounds since I opened the restaurant. And it's not necessarily from eating, but it's actually lack of eating. And because you're working the whole day and then you eat like at 11, 12 o'clock at night, and then it's not good for you. And then you don't have time to exercise or do things that normal human people get to do all the time.
What is your do you like to run? Do you like to work out? What is your exercise that you like enjoy?
I used to do parkour a really long time ago. And my workout used to be run 6.5 miles a day, 300 push-ups, 300 sit-ups.
Yeah, shut up, dude. I don't even believe you now.
And a squat or two. Yeah, I mean, not straight at once, but in sets. And like, you know how you like do the wide ones and you do the ones that are close and that kind of thing. So yeah, I was in much better shape. I can show you some pictures of me being skinnier, at least, you know.
You got to show me because I might not believe you.
Yeah.
Now we got a lot of rice here at the bottom. Am I supposed to mix this up to get it more to the top?
That's up to you. I mean, some people eat it and they shake it up. I like when people just kind of pick what they want and just take bites of the bowl.
Well, I'm such a pig. Speaking of pig, like I'll just like when I go to a restaurant, I'll go to a nice restaurant, right? And at the end of the meal, I'll be like, oh, I was supposed to eat those two things together.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't stop. So that's why I was asking, like, oh, am I eating this properly? Like, oh, am I supposed to just get a bite of everything? Or
I want to say however.
Because I didn't even know there was rice in here, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
I like to see people just try everything on their own and then see it together and figure out what they like and how they like to eat it. Because there's no right way to eat it. We have, like, a sushi pizza, and no one has figured out how to eat that the right way yet. And everyone just kind of digs in. But that's kind of, I think, like, the fun of it being, like, pretty and fancy looking, but then also just like a street food kind of thing that you just jump into.
All right, so you ran 16 miles a day.
6.5 miles.
Six and a half. Okay, yeah, well, I think you said 16.
Yeah, no, that's
because I'm a runner, and 16 and a half is a lot.
No, that's a lot. It would be around 45-50 minutes a day of pretty much that. Stretching, the other things I would do, some kind of sport twice a week.
Like what kind of sports?
Rock climbing or parkour.
Well, no wonder you were a good ninja. That's all the right shit.
Yeah.
And you've not done obstacle races? That's exactly in the wheelhouse.
Well, I'm a lot fatter now and a lot out of shape now.
But here's the thing. Even all those things, and even though you're a smoker, you could do an obstacle race because most of the time, like, you don't have to win. Like there are people who want to, like, win and start.
Just to do it, you mean. Yeah.
Right. But if those are your things, rock climbing, running, parkour, you've got balance. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I've had those things. I don't know if I can anymore. Right now, if I go up a flight of stairs, I'm, like, tired right now, you know? So that's one of my challenges I'm facing right now.
All
right.
So let's get back to this food thing and then not passionate about food thing.
No, I would say I'm definitely passionate about it because, I mean, it's the thing that we do and it's the thing that I gain passion for in different ways. Like, some parts of the business are more exciting and some are less, just like any other business. But I love making, like, the cool different weird things in our menu. I love like one of our things that we make is tempura fried bacon, and we cover it in butter syrup, and that's like one of the greatest things in the world that I can actually eat all the time. And I mean, I want to say I'm just not a high energy person, but me and my partner, we both are definitely passionate about the food and things that we do. It's not really both of the things that we started out or thinking that we're gonna do forever, and it's definitely been taking off, and we've been growing into it, and our business has been growing really fast from, like, side project mentality to our whole lives and opening a bunch of restaurants and stores and being on TV, and we just won second best restaurant in Atlanta.
Dude, who won?
Crazy. Aviva is number one.
Where is that?
They're, I think, downtown, and they're going to be actually in our next food court with us in Tech Square called Coda. So theoretically, it's number one restaurant in Atlanta, number two restaurant in Atlanta, and a lot of other good people are going to be there too.
And where are you now? In the Village?
Right now we're in East Atlanta Village, and then we're in Raleigh, North Carolina. And we've got a few more opening in Atlanta and a few more in other cities soon.
Would you come here to the West Side, dude? We need it.
I mean, the closest one is going to be Tech Square to there.
Do you know what we have over here for food?
I kind of saw a little bit driving by, but not really.
Nothing.
Yeah, this is like my first time in this part of the city.
You've never been to the West End?
I don't think so. I've been to like where Yeah Burger and Ornsby and Marcel are, but I don't really know.
Right, so that's West Midtown, which people are familiar with, right? Okay. What you just talked about. This is south of that, for those listening, south of the, right? The stadium's about 2 miles that way.
Okay, got
okay.
it.
We're right by Morehouse, that kind of stuff, to give people that don't know where the West End is. Because a lot of times I will say that to people, although it's getting to be a little bit better. When I first moved to this neighborhood 3 years ago, and I say, oh, I live in the West End, they're like, oh, I love that neighborhood. And I knew right away that they meant where the Optimist is.
Okay.
So it's a little rougher here. You know, there's the park across the street from my house, which my kids play in, but many times they can wake up to a homeless person who is there, right? Yeah. So right here is the Beltline, okay?
Oh, okay.
And right over there is Monday Night Garage, which is the first business to open.
I've heard about that. They do, like, events all the time.
Right. So they have another spot over there, okay. Whatever you call it. Not Howell Mill, but Northside-ish. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, so there's, like, four more breweries, but not, like, a food place. We need a fucking food place.
You can open one right here on your patio if you'd like, you know, because we are really tiny, so you're welcome to do it.
Open a franchise of...
Yeah, open a franchise.
How do you actually say it, by the way?
Pokeberry.
Just like it looks.
Yeah, pretty much, I think, you know. I think people overcomplicate it sometimes.
Well, you know, like, Americans, we're not very, you know, savvy. We're, like, afraid to, like...
Yeah, well, I'd say, I mean, it's really just a combination of what we make. It's poke, and then burry is burrito, short for burrito.
That's what I thought.
Fishy burritos. Yeah, okay, perfect. You get it. Yeah.
So it's poke burry.
Yeah, a lot of people don't get it right away, but I'm glad you did. Yeah.
No, it's exactly what it is. So we are in what I would call a food desert. Now, what we do have is McDonald's, Queue Time, right? We've got, like a lot of really bad for you food, but not a lot of, like, we don't, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You could totally open one in the West End.
Is it do people want it here?
Well, that's the thing. It's becoming a neighborhood that people want to live in because the East Side is so expensive, right?
So looking at houses, and I see there are a lot of houses around here. I'm not familiar with the area at all. All
right, so the East Side has just been going up and up and up and up and up, right? Everything used to just be like the Highlands was like the really expensive one, but then everything around that, right? So Old Fourth Ward, Grant Park, Kirkwood, they've all gone way up. Candler Park, although those were nicer neighborhoods to begin with. Now this side is like, oh shit, nobody's in the West End. Everybody's buying up the property here because you could buy a house 5 years ago here for like $8,000. Now you can't.
That's crazy. Okay.
It's going up and up and up. But people, it's still like, you know, people say like, is it safe? And I always think that's a ridiculous like question because it's like, dude, I wake up every day and like, I mean, I say this, I went to Lebanon and people, it's the same question. Like, oh, it's so. Is it going to be safe when you go there? I'm like, well, do you not feel safe in your own house in Atlanta? Because they might say that.
Yeah, you know what I mean. I've lived in plenty of places that people consider dangerous, and I'm still alive.
What are you doing? I think you must have seen something on YouTube.
Well, we have a ramen shop too. Bring him by, and we'll do some spicy ramen for him.
Really?
Yeah, we have ramen right next to Poke in the food court. So.
Why are you in Raleigh, North Carolina? Why not open more spots here?
We are opening more spots here, but that's really where our first franchisee came from. He was like one of the owners, like a friend of a friend of my partner's, and then the other guys that are kind of new to the whole thing. They just like came, tried our food, they loved it, they became like fans of it, and they're like, we got to open one there, and that's more or less what happened. It was kind of like I don't want to say a roller coaster ride, but just kind of. Just like everything else, things seem to just happen really quickly, and I guess it's a good thing.
How did you hook up with your partner?
We met actually in real estate school. Like, I sold my shares of my company beforehand, and then he left his job. He was helping Whole Foods open all the sushi restaurants inside of Whole Foods for a while, traveling up and down the country, and we met in real estate school, which is super random, and we kind of... saw a place that we were just kind of talking about poke, and we went to check out the Collective, which is where we are in the Wisukisuki food court, and the landlord was more or less like, you have 3 weeks to open if you want the spot, and we're like, sure, why not? And then that's what we did.
And he's the one with a bunch of kids.
Yeah, he has three kids, and they're all little, like I think three and under or four and under, and they're all a bunch of little kids just kind of running around doing kid stuff, you know. Normal, good kids.
This is really good what I'm eating.
Yeah, that's the Super Bowl for all the listeners that can't see it. It's a little bit of everything. Tuna, salmon, spicy tuna, crab, all the sauces we make from scratch, all the rice takes a long time.
A little
time
avocado going on.
A little bit of avocado, veggies, and it's our most popular bowl, so I would say everyone could check it. There's something in there for everyone, you know.
Well, it's kind of interesting that... You know, my son really does love spicy food. When I was a kid, so my parents, like, we're Jewish. Mm-hmm. My mother cooked a lot of bland Jewish food.
I see. I actually like Jewish food. I mean, but, like, generally speaking, I like all food, but Jewish food I like too. It just depends on, like, you know, the occasion is what I want.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Right. But, like, my wife is a cook, and, like, she converted to Judaism, and she's like, she brings some flavor to it. Mm-hmm. My mother, my grandmother didn't. And I think I never tried anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even like spicy wings until late in my life, because I think I was just afraid to try them. So I'm glad that my son, since he was like 6 or 7, eats hot, like, loves hot Cheetos and Takis.
Most kids don't eat that spicy, and hot Cheetos, I know the guy that invented them.
No, you don't.
Yeah, Robert Montañez.
Really?
Yeah, I met him in Arizona maybe 6.5 years ago, and he's a really cool guy. He was a janitor at Frito-Lay.
Shut up.
Pitched it to the president of the company, which back in like the 70s, 80s,
that's
you could do.
Right.
I think he said he made his first batch in his bathtub, and he made his own bags that look just like the actual ones that they use today. And now he is really successful and tours the country and talks about his story and making Flaming Hot Cheetos, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I wish I could do that. It seems like a pretty good life, you know, and everyone like knows him for that. And I guess wherever I go, people call me sushi guy, but Flaming Hot Cheeto guy is pretty cool. I say that one works. I don't mind sushi guy, but you know, that's what
did you watch Hero Dreams of Sushi?
Yeah, I actually watched that every single day until we opened for that 3 weeks. Yeah, just not like I studied it, but on the background every single day for 3 weeks to just pay attention.
Tell me what you like about that.
I mean, the food looks really good, obviously, but I mean, his dedication to the food is one that, like, I think most people don't do, and his commitment where his job there and him making the sushi, that's like his whole life. That's his identity. And I think a lot of people don't invest that much in their career. I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but that's his whole life from the second he wakes up till he goes to sleep. And that's where I think it's called Jiro Dreams of Sushi, because that's all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I watched it and it made me want to eat sushi really bad. So we went out for a date, my wife and I, and we have 3 kids. Rare do we have a date night. She made a reservation somewhere around here, and I was like, let's go to Beaufort Highway. Like, let's get something. Right. Okay. So we go, and I like, let's just pick a spot. So we picked a spot, and apparently this is a spot that you need reservations for.
Got it. Okay.
So,
Remember what it was?
I wish I could, yeah. Because
it's like 5 restaurants in Atlanta, I think, that would make sushi that you need a reservation for.
Well, this one's off of Beaufort Highway. If I type in, like, I got 1%. If I type it in, it might pop up. So instead, I looked like, where's another spot?
Okay.
That didn't need reservations, and it was very okay, and it was kind of a disappointing because when you go and you want to spend some money on sushi, and like you really want to enjoy it, and then it was just okay.
I mean, I think that happens pretty often. I want to say 1 out of 3 restaurants I go to, and that's like a good ratio if I'm lucky, like I'll never go back to. But I mean, there's definitely some good food in Atlanta. I've like been really happy with that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here anymore.
Well, I was going to ask you, because you say you go Sushi Hayawaka, is that it?
Hayakawa, yeah. They're like, I think, #2 sushi restaurant in Atlanta for sushi.
Yes, so I think that's where we tried to go.
Okay, yeah, that's super, I think, like high-end tasting menu kind of thing. I've been wanting to go there. Like, I hear it's really good, but I just haven't had the time for that yet. Like, and I eat essentially sushi, like, every, you know, all the time. So it's tough to, like, go out there and eat kind of the same thing pretty often. But I want to say we make good food, and, like, even on the backside, we'll make some sushi for us or some things that are more traditional, and we'll eat that sometimes.
That's
great.
Do you live the restaurateur lifestyle? Like, you're up really late, you smoke a drink a lot?
I want to say I try not to. I mean, right now I'm dating someone, and that means I'm doing more normal life, which is great for me. Like, I mean, my biggest goal, like, everyone asks me what my goals are, and I'm like, I want to have a house, a girlfriend, and a puppy, and have time for that. And
that's it.
Really what I'm
so you want a girlfriend, not a wife?
We'll get there. Yeah, one step at a time, you know. So sooner or later.
How's it going with the current one?
Really good. She's really cool, and she's into food, and she's into doing stuff, and she has a lot more energy than I do in life, but I'd say she's a good one.
Did she meet you at the restaurant?
She met me through food things. And
through food things?
Yeah, like food events and things like that. And I mean, we're all over the place, like in the community, so like, I mean, honestly, it's I meet so many people like all the time, and it's I'm okay with it. I'm not the biggest people person, but the people that like us, I like that. That's a good way to indicate it. Yeah.
So are you going to stay here? Because you've like bounced all over the place.
I'm not sure. I mean, honestly, it just really depends on where the journey goes. We may open one in, like we're talking to franchisees kind of like all over the country. And while I'm in different places setting them up, if I like a city, maybe I'll be there for a little while. You know, I mean, I like Atlanta a lot, but you know, I know I'm not meant to be in one city. I'm meant to be in like at least a few, and I don't want to bounce around all the time, like forever, because I'm getting older now. But my dream is to have a place here, a place in like the places I consider home and the places I like. So I'd love to be in New Orleans. I'd love to be in Vegas. Like, I'd love to be possibly in Denver if we open one there. And I don't like the big cities, but I like the medium cities and the medium pace of life and that kind of thing.
But with all these other businesses, like, are you even going to stick with this? What if you get bored doing this? God, these flies are annoying the shit out of me.
Oh, well, I mean, for right now, this is our only business right now. So it's poke and it's ramen, lifting noodles ramen. And the franchising, it eats up a big part of my life already. So even the transition of like not being in the restaurant every day has transitioned into doing more press, more meetings, more being out there, more like location scouting and all that kind of stuff.
So you'd rather just franchise it out? You don't want to open stuff?
I mean, the thing is, we have a few that are opening that are ours ourselves, but we can only grow so much based on what we can do alone, like financially, time-wise, bandwidth, and I mean, franchising is looking like it's a really great way to grow. I mean, the hardest thing is finding good people, and we've been really lucky in the people that we find, or I guess I want to say the people we choose have been really good people, and they're people I can trust, and they say franchising is like, you have a baby and then you give this baby to this random person. You're like, go watch this baby for me in another state. And you have to like watch and make sure. But I mean, the people that we have so far have been really good. And the people that are just signing up now are, you know, really good people, you know, and that's a rare thing. And I want to say we may have like, if you look at my phone or my Excel, there's like 200 people trying to buy a franchise. And I'm probably
really
going to pick like two of them, you know what I mean? Or three of them or five of them.
And people just hit you up like through the web or through IG or whatever?
I mean, they come in from everywhere. The website, Instagram, franchise brokers, franchise websites. I mean, poke is really hot right now in the industry. And, you know, I want people that are going to really understand what we do and understand the things that make us special so they can do those things in their store and not just be like a cash grab or a poke's hot. I want to be a part of it. And yeah.
So it's called Lifting Noodle?
Yeah. So our stores are Poke Burry and then Lifting Noodles Ramen. And one does poke and one does ramen. And they're both, I want to say, really good and award-winning places in Atlanta. I think for poke, we've won 42 out of 42 competitions we've been in or festivals and awards and things like that so far. I want to say compete against us and see what happens. You know, I mean, we're never afraid. And I mean, the thing is, we compete in business and we compete in food. A lot of times people don't like kind of are missing on one side of that, you know, where we'll go to a festival and, you know, not everyone is focused on talking to the people, getting to know everyone, and you know, putting the time in there. Some people are just so busy making the food, or some people are too busy just talking and hanging out and not really worried about the food. And you have a good balance. I think that's how you win things.
Did you work in the costume department for the movie called See You Tomorrow?
No, that's probably someone else.
How many people do you know with your name?
I've met three, and they're all in Atlanta. And nowhere else. And also Andre 3000's son from Outkast, I think his name is Seven. Someone told me that. I don't know.
Seven Chan?
Probably not Seven Chan.
Well, this is Seven Chan. Oh. Worked on the costume. That's what popped up. Because I was trying to Google you to see if
more stuff about me.
If that if that's how I found out about it. Because I'm so curious as to why. It's really killing me. It's why.
Yeah, I mean, that is not me. But we do cater on sets for like movies and TV shows all the time, which is super cool. Like, that's probably the more fun things that we do. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing I was going to ask you is that it is a very like hot item today, right? And so like that's the other thing about long-term plans is like, when that wave sort of crashes.
I mean, I want to say there's always poke is the first real fast casual like successful thing in the sushi category, where every food that comes to the country or is a new food, there's room for fast food, fast casual, and sit down restaurant. And that's where poke, I think, fits that for sushi. And that's where I don't think it's going to stick around. And what's going to happen is you're going to see a million restaurants open and a lot of them close. But the good ones will be around, kind of like frozen yogurt, where there was like a million of them at a time, and a lot of them are closing or closed, but the good ones are still around.
Dude, so I'm older than you, right? When I was a kid, Froyo was the fucking jam.
Yeah,
I mean, there was like a new frozen yogurt place everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, one is I'm a Mr. Softy guy because I'm like from New York. That's what I do. I don't do any of those toppings or crazy stuff. I go to like I wait for the ice cream truck to come. You run outside when you're a little kid,
right?
Like all your friends do, and you just get a Mr. Softy and you hang out like on the corner,
right? No, yeah, because like the whole burger thing kind of came like 10 years ago, I guess, and it feels like. Like the good ones did stick around, the ones that I like the best. Yeah. Like, yeah, burger's great. Grind burger's great. Yeah.
Farm burger is really good. I like that.
Farm burger's really good.
Like them, and they're a friend of ours too. But yeah, I mean, it just kind of depends. I mean, I want to say our food is good and our business is good. And I want to say we're the most award-winning poke brand in Atlanta for sure, and possibly America right now.
Get out of here.
You'd be surprised. I mean, no one really competes at things, and no one really tries in those.
So you just get what? I mean, there's always like chili cook-offs and stuff. Is there a bunch of poke cook-offs?
There are no poke cook-offs. I've challenged everyone to compete against us, and no one has accepted yet. But we compete in all kinds of things. Like Creative Oafing came to us and they're like, come do Burger Week. And we're like, we don't make burgers. And they're like, we know you make good food. And we won second best burger in Atlanta out of like 50 to 100 restaurants that made burgers every single day. And we came in second place. We entered a corn dog battle with our sushi corn dogs and we won that. We entered a sandwich battle with our sushi sandwiches and we won that. And really, it's about just making good food, I think. And
so do you know Nick really well, Tap?
From
he's the Burger Week guy.
I don't think I don't even know if I ever met him, but I talked to the people from Creative Oafing,
right?
And they're the ones that pitched us and they helped us be on Fox News for it,
right? Well, like he was the it was kind of his idea, but they might farm out whatever the daily dues were to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I met him, because if I did, he was probably running around and it could have been for a second. But next year we're coming for number one. Yeah,
I like how competitive you are, dude. I think that's rare. I think like, I mean, obviously, like, chefs are kind of wild cards a lot of times, but yeah. I don't know that I've ever heard somebody go specifically competitive about stuff.
I say I am a beast among men and a man among beasts, so, yeah.
What does that mean?
You have to think about it, yeah. I am a man among beasts and a beast among men.
Because you're small?
No, just I think my temperament, you know, because I'm not really, I don't seem like I'm aggressive, but I am savagely competitive. And like we went to Atlanta Food and Wine Festival and we had no like plan to even compete and win. But we got there, it was 100 degrees outside. It was like covered in mud. There are all these big name people. And I'm like, if I'm going to be here and I'm going to be for this like 3 hours today, 3 hours tomorrow and go through 100 degree weather making food, I'm here to win now. And we took it home and we won by like almost twice as many votes as anyone else.
And for what dish was this?
Best of the whole festival.
Best of the festival?
Yeah, best of the festival, which is pretty cool.
If I look you up right now, it's going to come up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I have a big list of all the things that we've won before, but you know, I want to say it's really the food stands behind it. And then we have a dedication to customer service, to getting to know the people, to really trying to make the whole experience like something that you're happy about. And
right.
That's like from our restaurant to our media to a lot of the things that we do. That's the philosophy, you know.
Well, I'll probably figure it out when you're gone about what I what made me reach out then. Do you watch any other documentaries? Are you a documentary guy?
I've been watching Chef's Table. And I don't really watch too many documentaries. I've been watching the toy one about like how toys are made, which is pretty cool.
Right.
It's a lot of nostalgia for me. Most of the things I watch are kind of things that everyone loves, but like I love Game of Thrones. I love Stranger Things. I used to watch Top Chef all the time. Master Chef, which is cool. We have a little Master Chef kids that are going to be making some dishes on our menu soon, which is awesome. They are super talented and also really tall for their age, and all taller than me so far already.
Right.
I'm trying to think. But I guess I don't really have time to watch too much these days. I guess I finished Barry on HBO. That was a great show.
I started that one, and then I forget what happened. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned something else that I liked.
Yeah, spoiler it, but Stranger Things is big.
Stranger Things is like the greatest fucking thing in the world.
Game of Thrones is like huge for me.
And I wasn't even sure what they were going to do, right, for second season of Stranger Things?
I was like, they wrapped it up so perfectly in the first one. And I don't know. I hope it keeps going, and they keep doing good stuff. Like, season two was good, and I was happy with it, you know. I don't think I like season one better, but season two is also really good. And we make food for some of the people on the show sometimes, or the people that work on the show sometimes, and they're all super cool too.
Right. Well, you showed me what you made. The
it's a Demogorgon.
As soon as you said Demogorgon, I was like, oh, that's the mouth of the Demogorgon. That's like exactly what that is. I was like, that's awesome.
I mean, that's actually our most popular sushi burrito, and spicy tuna, veggies, rice, our signature sauces.
And so what does that go for, by the way? Like, if I were to order that roll?
Yeah, I mean, essentially everything on our menu is going to be entree-wise like $11 to $15. So it's really affordable. Like, if you compare it to going to a sushi restaurant, you get that tiny like piece of sashimi or nigiri for $2, $3.
Right.
You look at the quality that we give is like equal, if not better. And it's, you get a giant portion of it, you know, and it's you know, I don't know where people cut costs, but food is not the place to cut costs in my mind, at least. You know?
So when you go and you win this thing, this Atlanta Food and Wine Festival, do people seem surprised or like, holy shit, who are these guys?
I mean, it depends on the situation, because some people are like, we don't even know who you are. How are you winning it? And then some people are like, oh, you guys win everything, so I'm not surprised at all. And
Do you then collaborate with like some of these people? Do you like?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I want.
Do you have friends that are in the restaurant business?
I want to say I know like five people in the city outside of work. You know, because I don't really have time for normal, I guess, social things. I'm trying to work on that, but I'm sorry, what was the question? Yeah, collaborating with the people, right?
Do you have any collaborations with any chefs in the city?
I mean, I'm working on more of them. Like, we had one with Lindsay Green, and she's from The Hunger Diaries, which you may have heard of her. And then she was on a Food Network show for a little while. We're working on
She does like the mukbang thing.
Yeah, she does this mukbang video.
So I was going to interview her, actually. Oh, okay. She was in town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was in town a few weeks ago, but I think she's coming and going.
She has like LA/ATL in her profile, and I was like, oh, I should totally. And I was going to meet her down at the market, down at Ponce City Market, and then I forget what happened, but I couldn't make it happen.
We have a dish called Fried Ramen Carbonara, and that's a collaboration of us and her, and that's the dish I want to make for Jackson, and I think he's going to love it. It's super good.
So if I come down there, how do I know you're working?
Send me a message and I'll make it for you.
That's it?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty much that easy.
Okay.
Yeah, more or less. I'm not going to make that for everyone all the time.
No. But, don't.
You know.
Jackson, guess what he's going to make for you?
Yeah, I'm going to make you fried ramen carbonara. It's like spicy ramen noodles. Because you said you were making your own. So I'm going to show you what ours tastes like, okay?
You want to go down there and do it someday?
Yeah, if you want, I'll teach you how to make it. Okay?
What?
It's a secret, though. It's on our secret menu, but you can learn how to make it. Just don't tell anyone else. Don't open your own restaurant with it, okay?
Okay.
Okay, promise.
He's going to be a football player, right?
Got it.
He wants to be a football player. He doesn't want to be a chef. My daughter said she might want to be a chef, but
okay.
We'll bring Jackson. We won't bring Emma, okay? Sound good?
We're always hiring, so you know, we'll bring them all along, you know?
Dude, thank you. That would be awesome.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that for you guys. I mean, really, like, the people that we like, we're happy to do stuff with forever. Right. And Lindsay was definitely one of those people. Like, she's always been loyal to us. She's been like a fan of ours since the beginning. We're a fan of her. She does cool, weird stuff too.
I like cool and weird, but I can't watch a lot of mukbang. I gotta say, I can't. It kind of is a little.
I don't really think it's a thing you're supposed to watch the same way that you like pay attention to, but it's like a background thing, and people watch it.
No, but people are into it. Like that's why it's a thing.
Into it in a way that, like, I don't know. Like, let's say if I'm in a restaurant, they may play it in the background. And maybe I think the purpose is it gives you company while you're eating. And some people watch it for all other reasons.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's like a sexual thing, right? Like, they want to see a pretty girl eat food.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I wouldn't mind watching a pretty girl do anything, I guess. But, like, sure. Yeah. I don't know. That's not what I do. But
no. I like weird. I like... You know what I mean? Because, like I said, everybody's a freaking content creator, and everybody's doing their thing. So it takes a lot for somebody to like stand out. Yeah. It feels like.
I like that it's different, and I know a lot of people, they do listening to it only,
buddy,
and listening to people eat, which is kind of weird.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that seems weird to
me.
They
say that's the number two most annoying thing to listening to people eat.
But what's number one?
People baby crying. But, I don't know. I don't know where I'm getting these from. These are the.
I would say it's number one, because baby crying, once you have kids, mm-hmm. your level of annoyance goes from annoyance to compassion. Like, oh, hi, that woman. I feel for that person, because
see the people without kids. Because if I am on an airplane,
you want to kill them. I get it.
Or something. I'm like, I don't know what to do now. I'm just stuck there. There's nothing I can do.
Right. Well, if I can't see the kid, mm-hmm. it might just be annoying. But if it's like in my vicinity. Mm-hmm. Because once you've lived it, once you know what a horrible time that person is having, because she knows everyone hates her right now, and it's annoying, it's like you just feel for her, man.
I'm not really good. I'm not really exposed to too many kids, so I want to say I feel like I'd be a good dad when I'm a parent, but right now my approach to babies, I treat them like a puppy. I'm like, good puppy, like, you know, good kid. Here's something to play with.
Right.
I'll feed you.
Right. That's all they need.
That's my understanding of
that's
it.
That's all you they
know,
need.
Entertain them, feed them, make sure they stay alive.
And they'll, once they hit a certain age, they figure it out. Once they hit a certain age, then they can just go to the fridge and get something.
Yeah.
They don't even starve.
I really am kind of looking forward to having kids. So, I think I'd be a good dad, though. I'd be like a cool dad. Like weird dad.
Does your girlfriend know your feelings on kids?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, she doesn't really want to have kids, but I don't know. We'll cross that bridge when it comes to it. We're just dating.
Right. Will she listen to this podcast?
Probably. So I should be careful of the things I say.
Maybe not.
But yeah, no.
We'll get to the real you, the real seven.
But we've been dating, and she's really cool. Yeah. I mean, I have no complaints, actually, right now. And I have many complaints about other people I date all the time. So I'm sure they have complaints about me, too, but it seems like a good fit right
now. Do you do any of the app dating, or you just meet in real life?
I've been online dating for, I guess, a long time because I travel to a lot of different cities. So meeting people through, like, friend circles or work is different because I'm usually the boss and I'm not dating any of my employees. And, you know, if I'm in a new place, I don't know anyone. So those are helpful and all kinds of weird stuff happens. But it's fun. I mean, I think my tally, I'm definitely over 100 first dates in the last like 5 years or so. But I don't think that's a lot these days. You know, I think in today's world,
you could use an app and have multiple first dates in one evening.
Yeah, I think I've had two in one day before, but that's already enough for me. Like,
I saw a buddy. I was in LA. I saw a buddy, and he was looking at one of his apps. Mm-hmm. And I said, "How many of those are you on?" And he showed me like the three, and he was like swiping a little bit, and I was like, that looks like work. He's like, yeah, every day I got to spend like 20 minutes like going through each one. And sometimes I update the pictures. And I'm like, oh, way too much fucking work for me.
I don't know, because I compare it to like, I remember before internet and phones and you had to like go actually talk to people.
Right.
And that was a lot harder, I think, at least for some people. I mean, I like meeting people in real life. I feel like that's girls like me. I don't know why, but girls, I've never had that problem really. But I can see where it's easier to just swipe on your phone than go somewhere, put on pants, buy people drinks, be nice all the time.
Put on pants, buy drinks, and be nice to people all the time. Yes, those are three things you have to do.
More or less, you have to do those if you want to meet girls in real life.
And right.
I'm not opposed to it. I enjoy it, but it has to be when I'm in the mood for that, you know?
All right.
Or have the time for that, you know?
Got it. All right. Are you ready to take the Atlanta Favorites quiz? That's what part of the show we're up to.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, you ready?
I think so.
What is your go-to order at the Waffle House?
I think it's called the Slammer or the Special.
The All-Star Special?
Yeah, the All-Star Special. I get everything there. Grits, but I add hash browns anyway. I get the sausage, I pour maple syrup on it, or I get the bacon, I pour maple syrup on it.
You like maple syrup?
I like it on certain meats for some reason. I do scrambled eggs, one slice of cheese, not two. Yeah, peanut butter waffle. Yeah.
Got it.
That's an easy question.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah. So I've been going there since Arizona, and before I even knew this was a thing that was everywhere else.
Well, I remember when I lived out west, and we went to Arizona, and I was thrilled because they had a Waffle House because there isn't any in L.A. So when they had the first one opened, and I was like, went to Arizona for something, I was like, oh, my God, this is like home to me because I grew up here. All right. So what is your favorite restaurant in Atlanta? And you can't say your own.
That's really hard. I can give a few. Is that
sure. Right? Fire away.
Atlas and Buckhead is one of my favorite, like, I guess, fancier places to go to. South Main Kitchen in Alpharetta is, like, my go-to. I'm there all the time in my pajamas. Like,
you live in Alpharetta?
No, I live in Buckhead, but Alpharetta, I don't know. I like it there. Like, if I were to live somewhere, I like that it's peaceful. And, like, if I'm not working on a weekend, I can drive around that area, have everything I need, and not go through traffic, you know, and go from one place to another. But that's definitely one of my favorite restaurants. Gun Show is awesome.
Do you know Kevin?
I don't know him personally, but I know, like a lot of people from the restaurant definitely come into our place and eat. And then we, like, cross paths here and there. But I've never really met him in person, which is weird. But I'm trying to think. I think those are definitely my go-to places. I'm trying to find more favorite places, you know. And I have like a giant list of places to go. I love Beetle Cat for lobster rolls. I love Soto Soto for pasta.
Soto Soto is like our favorite, my wife and I's favorite.
I love that. I've only literally had two dishes there because I just it's so good. I just get the same thing over and over again.
Right.
But yeah, I'd say those are probably my favorites. And if I'm missing anyone, I'll come back and we'll do that next time. Yeah.
Okay. Rank these in importance to you.
Okay.
All right. Falcons, United, Braves, Hawks.
Oh no, this is like a tough, this is a controversial question to answer, but Atlanta United, yeah, that's my top one. I went to my first game about a week ago, and it was the coolest, but also loudest and ridiculous like sporting event I've like ever been to. And then I really don't have time for the other sports, but I used to watch basketball, so I guess Hawks and then Falcons last, but I've never even been to a football game, so I gotta go do that someday.
You should definitely do that.
Yeah, my parents come and visit, I'm gonna take them to some sporting event while they're here. You know, I think they'll enjoy the
experience. Well, fall is coming, so it's gonna have to be football, I guess.
Okay.
Because soccer and baseball will be over.
Oh, okay.
I guess basketball. I guess you go to Hawks game.
Yeah, I mean maybe football. My dad likes football, so we can probably do that, and he'll enjoy it, and my mom will just be there and, you know, hang out with us.
Yeah. All right. All right. Complete this sentence.
Okay.
I take MARTA blank.
Never. Yeah, I mean, I'm just not a...
A common answer to I take MARTA question. Really? Oh, yes. Very common answer.
It's not that I...
It's usually to the airport. It's usually that's the answer people give.
Yeah, no, I mean, I drive and I love that Atlanta, even though there's traffic, it's not like traffic compared to LA or New York. So everyone complains about them like this is nothing.
Yeah, they have no idea.
And, yeah, I guess I've never really needed to. And the Uber is like super convenient in this city. And I Uber on my day off like all the time and not even drive, you know.
Right. Yeah. What is the best concert you've seen in Atlanta?
Concert that I've seen. I've only seen one concert here before. So
it's okay.
That's the best one.
Which is? Who'd you see?
It's the girl from Dr. Phil, Cash Me Outside, and Little Yachty.
This is the greatest answer. She put on a concert.
I had free tickets, and then I was meeting with her manager for something, so I was there. And
this is unbelievable. This is the best answer to this question so far.
It was the most interesting mix of people I have.
First of all, the fact that neither one of us know her name, right? Her name is, in fact, Cash Me Outside Girl.
Danielle. Something with a B.
So why did they want to meet with you?
No, I just wanted to see because her manager represents a bunch of people, and I wanted to see if anyone would be a good spokesman for us or something that we can tie into later in the future. And I mean,
I don't think you want to be on that train, though. I don't think you want to be on the Cash Me Outside train.
I don't know if necessarily that, but then she works with a lot of vocal Atlanta rappers and other musicians, like Little Yachty.
Okay.
Which I don't really know much about music because I'm behind the times. I listen to podcasts all day in my car. So I may be like 2 or 3 years behind in music, but, you know, I'm like, why not? It's a free concert. It's my day off. And it was really, I want to say it was fun. Yeah, it was cool. It was a giant mix of people from... teenagers to adults to older people and people of all ethnicities, and it was the biggest mix of people I've seen in one room come together for a random situation.
What was the venue?
It was at I feel like I should know the name of it.
Was it City Winery?
I think it's Masquerade.
Masquerade,
like
okay.
Yeah, it's like one of the Masquerade stages. And
right. So Masquerade used to be, right now it's where that old Fourth Ward skate park is, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And now it's in Underground. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. I went to the Underground. That's
okay. That's where it is now. Yeah, okay.
I mean, I felt really out of place at first, but I had a few drinks, and then it was really cool. It was fun. Like it was my first concert I think in like years, and my next concert I can tell you that if you want, but it's completely the opposite of it. It's Lucia Micharelli, the famous violinist.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is that going to be, like at the Fox?
I think so. I'm not sure, actually. I got to check. That's in, like, September. But, I mean, I love live music. So, like, whatever it is, I like the vibe.
Right.
I like to get into it, even if it's not specifically my thing. But I actually...
Sorry, I'm not yawning at you. I'm just having...
Yeah.
I have not had my afternoon coffee.
If you guys are violin fans, she's the greatest. She's, like, one of my favorite violinists out there.
Do you know who OK Cello is?
No. That sounds like a made-up name, isn't it?
I know. So his name's Okori. He's a cellist.
Okay.
And he has played with, like, name every, like, big, like,
big
hip-hop artist, R&B artist. He's done his own stuff. Okay. Super cool. Like very like happening Atlanta dude. Like he, like I know him. He's like a dad at my kid's school, okay. But he has this alter ego, okay, cello.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. So
my favorite violinist, Tanya Huang in New Orleans. I don't know if you ever go to New Orleans, but she plays on Royal Street and it's the coolest thing ever. Yeah.
I have been to New Orleans a couple of times, but not in like 5 or 6 years. What podcasts are you listening to?
Right now, I mean, I'm listening to Entrepreneurial Chef because that's like part of what I do. Right. I love How I Built This, which is like how everyone builds their businesses and they get all these like super important people to do interviews, which is awesome. I'm listening to ATL Foodcast right now.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm going to be on that show sometime soon. I don't know exactly when. In my personal life, I love The Indoor Kids. It's like a Nerdist podcast. And I listen to What Say You, the Impractical Jokers podcast.
They have their own podcast?
Yeah, they do. I love that show, actually.
I watched it the other day, and I think it is funny, mm-hmm. but like people go berserk over it.
I mean, it's a thing. It's like it's another like when you're in hotel rooms, let's say for some reason, they play the same like five, like Pawn Stars is on TV all day. Impractical Jokers is on all day.
You haven't said mine
Diners,
yet.
Diners, Drivers, and Dives is on all day. And those become the shows you watch because they're in the hotel rooms all the time.
Right, but you didn't name one or you could say one or two shows, but
ATL podcast. Am I supposed to say no? You're not supposed to plug yourself.
No.
Yourself.
I'm talking about in the hotel.
Oh, okay.
So my favorite show, which is on in every hotel I ever go to, is Law and Order and Law and Order SVU.
Yeah, I mean those are always on too. And
I'd never traveled internationally before, and then last year I did, and it was like it became like my savior. Because it was like the only show on in English in a lot of places.
Those are like it surprises me because those are actually the highest rated shows on TV. Like NCIS is like the biggest show on TV. And I'm like, I don't know if anyone really gets excited to go watch it. It doesn't have a cult following, but it's for everyone.
Right. It's not Game of Thrones. Yeah, it's not House of Cards.
Those are like really big shows. I like the... Dun dun! I don't know the sound.
That's Law and Order. Yeah. See, I'm not into NCIS. I'm not into any of the other ones. Cold Case. It's fucking Law and Order. It's a franchise. It's been on for 20 years. I've got favorite cops. I've got favorite lawyers. It's a whole thing.
Ice-T.
He's in SVU.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right.
Everyone explains things to Ice-T all the time in expositional dialogue. Ice-T be like, "What's his cell phone, man?" or something like that. And then everything is explaining things to Ice-T, and I love that.
My wife and I both have Ice-T impression. Motor Catch the Perp. That's yeah. Ice-T.
And he's fun. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a chance to watch that much TV, but I guess that's pretty much what
but
I'm
But this is the
right
second
now.
Time, so people listening, I need you to reach out to me. This is the second time Law and Order has come up recently. And like, you know how... this is my thing, which I might launch, okay? Mm-hmm. You know how like there's nerd stuff for everything?
Yeah.
Star Wars, like Game of Thrones, like whatever there is, there's nerd shit around it and trivia. Mm-hmm. So I want to start like a bar night around Law and Order and have trivia and have like, dress up like the different cops.
I feel like a lot of people would be into
Do you think, right? I think so too. These guys, the guys down at Joystick, I talked to them about it because they do a lot of nerd stuff.
Yeah.
And they weren't so sure. They were like, they weren't feeling it.
I mean, I think like any kind of fandom needs its own place to do things.
Right.
You know?
And I'm not even like deep in the weeds. Like I bet if I went on Reddit right now, there would be strings of things I didn't even know.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing is that the shows cross over to each other. There are people that have played the same role on different shows. There are people that play different roles on the different franchises. It's a whole thing.
Okay.
What do you got now, buddy? You seeing anybody's outside? All right. You're taking too long, man. You're killing time on the podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
Dude, I might start a Law and Order. If I wasn't already doing two shows, I might start a Law and Order podcast.
Because I'd say you have like a million episodes to walk through.
Literally, right?
Yeah, like I think there's like a million seasons. Like House Hunters is on. Do you know House Hunters?
I don't watch any of the flipping house hunting.
I don't watch the flipping ones, but I like the house hunting ones. And they're on season 130 something or something crazy right now. So Law and Order probably has... a lot of them too. I think they're both pretty close.
Yeah. No, the Atlanta Foodcast, they pop up I was just searching and they started coming up under my show. If you click like you might like this show.
Okay.
And so I listened to like we've had some of the same guests. Okay. But again, I think that's why I like my show is because like most shows are doing that. It's gonna be just tech, just entrepreneurs, just food, and mine is anybody in Atlanta that I think is cool.
Yeah. I like that.
Right?
I know some cool people you could interview if you want some.
That's actually the remaining question. Oh, well, okay. We got two more questions. One is, what's your favorite Atlanta festival?
Can I say the ones that I've won?
Sure.
Atlanta Food and Wine Festival, okay. Taste of Atlanta, Kenmore Park Fall Festival coming up, ATL Night Market, and I haven't won all those yet, but I plan to.
I interviewed Elizabeth from the Atlanta Food and Wine Festival. You know her? It's like she's the head of it, I think.
Maybe.
Well, it turns out she used to be my neighbor, and I think now that I think about it, I don't think I ever aired it because I did a bunch when we first started.
Okay. Well, I mean, they were all super cool, and you know, aside from winning, like, the food is always good at those things, and the people are generally nice people. Yeah, they're fun.
What? So the last question I always ask is, who should I talk to next in the Atlanta podcast?
I want to say, I don't know how much like food stuff you want to do, but like ATL Bucket List, Alyssa from there is one of the coolest people.
Yeah,
and she is always doing like really exciting, cool things. I'm trying to think. I know mostly food people.
Like I said, I talk to some of everything, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, it's just my show is not just, like, a bunch of food people, but it's, like, everything.
Cool. Yeah. I'd say the guys from South Main Kitchen are really cool, too. It's, like, three of them. It's, like, two chefs and one owner. We did a radio show together, and they were super cool.
Right. Or for example, or, like, I was just trying to think about who I had on recently, or, like, Just Beer, right? There's 100 Just Beer podcasts, right?
The like, guys from Scott Mob and Handpicked Atlanta, they're super cool.
You know what's so funny? I just reached out to them today. Oh, really? Hang on.
Yeah.
Because I do that, right? Thanks to the IG. Mm-hmm. Just good old hashtag culture.
John and Anderson are like good friends of ours, and they're super cool.
So this is great. I emailed them on Instagram, and they said, I said, who should I talk to? And they said, John. So
if you can find Little Yachty, I'm sure he's a trip too. And Danielle from Catch Me Outside, you should.
She's from here?
No, actually, no, I don't think she's from here. But yeah, that'll be fun.
I definitely want hip hop stars. I definitely want my dream list. Like, here's like the dream list, right? Because people ask me that. Like, yeah.
You cross me off now. I'm on the show now. Right. See how that works.
Yeah. 7 from Pokeberry. Mm-hmm. So like the first names I wrote, like I share this list with people sometimes. And I've actually crossed a few off. Mm-hmm. And you're not from Atlanta, so it might not. Some of them might not jump out at you even.
Do you want all the listeners to tweet at them? Because I know other podcasts will be like, oh, I want this guest. All the listeners, tweet at them right now.
Yes, but it's Instagram. I don't. This doesn't have a Twitter account. I already have so many. I can only do so many. So this is what I started with. Mike Vick, The Mayor, Matt Ryan, King of Pops, and I did King of Pops.
Which Matt Ryan?
The quarterback for the Falcons.
Okay, different Matt Ryan than I know.
Arthur Blank.
Okay.
Ryan Gravel. He's the guy who invented the Beltline. I did talk to him.
Okay.
Jim Stacy. Then I did talk to him. Mm-hmm. The owner of Manuel's Tavern. That's like been a staple in Atlanta forever.
Okay.
Kevin Kinney, which is the guy from Driving or Crying. Anyway, the Tyler Perry. Like, mm-hmm. That's like, and I think like these are all doable. And this is also one of the reasons why I wanted to start this podcast is I thought I'm only so many degrees away from the mayor and from Arthur Blank. I'm never going to get Tom Cruise, but I can get Arthur Blank. Even though he's a billionaire, I can probably get him.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Right.
And I think, I think we're all connected to everyone in some way.
Right.
Like, I play that game and I'm like, oh, I'm connected to everyone, at least in 6, if not like a few. Yeah.
Right. Well, especially if you traveled a fair amount.
I sat next to Kevin Bacon on a plane before, which is cool.
Did you chat with him?
No, you pretended to sleep the whole time, and then we had milk and cookies together because that's what you do in first class, which was
like
the only times I had first class, so I got to talk to him for like 2 seconds. I didn't want to bother him, but we had cookies together, which is fun.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. I've always been the like, hey, can I say hi to you kind of person, even before cell phones, right? And like, if I ever don't, I regret it. So here's we were in the airport. My wife and I, and you know, like pretty much if you're in the LA airport, you will see somebody. It's almost impossible not to, right?
All the time.
And I think we were actually in Burbank and we saw, oh my God, now I can't think of his name. The bassist from Kiss. So not Gene Simmons, not what's his name. I think it was Ace Frehley, maybe. Okay. Do you even know who that is?
No,
you didn't grow up a Kiss fan. Anyway, I saw him. He was sitting there in the airport. And I was like, I'm going to walk over and say hi to him, honey.
I mean, that's a once in a lifetime one. You have to.
Right. And I didn't because my wife was like, no, don't. And again, this is like flip phone day. So it's not like I could even have taken a picture.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's cool to just be like, hey, I'm a big fan.
Right. And that's it. And let it go. And let it go. So same thing happened. I saw Kevin Smith in a restaurant in LA. He was having dinner.
Kevin Smith is a friend of a person that tolerates me.
There you go.
I've met Kevin Smith. He's a really nice guy.
So yeah, and I pushed out on that, and I was really mad. And so most of the time when I see people, like however random, I will just say, hey, listen, I just want to say I'm a fan. But now I try to get him on the show because why not?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, so I saw Usher. Right.
Okay.
I saw Usher, who apparently goes to Croxton Market all the time.
Really? Because Usher's picture is in so many restaurants in Atlanta.
Right.
Because Usher's been there and people make him take pictures.
Right. But, yeah. So he's apparently in Croxton Market all the time.
Oh, okay.
Right. And I didn't know this. And I eat at Croxton Market all the time because I used to have an office right over there.
Yeah, I eat there too. And I've never seen Usher yet. But
do you eat at Fred's?
No. I mean, I go to Ticonderoga all the time.
Dude, Fred's is amazing. You haven't eaten Fred's?
I've never eaten there yet before.
Dude.
It's kind of like I find my thing and that's where I go to. And
I just can't believe no one's told you, though, about that. So Fred's, they've got
people have definitely mentioned
10 dishes. Yeah. People will say, what do you eat there? I'm like, everything.
Wait, are they the same that's in Canteen right now?
Yes.
Okay. Then same. I've had the Philly cheesesteak.
Okay. Before, so the Philly cheesesteak is great. Whatever burger they have is great because they take things on and off the menu. Whatever chicken sandwich they have is great because everything is the bomb. They have a chicken palm that's great. They have a tuna that's great.
I remember the Philly cheesesteak was good.
And, all right. So go back there.
Okay.
So I was there and everyone knew him and blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, yeah, he comes here all the time. So
he goes for the sandwiches.
I think he goes to Yala next door, also owned by the same people. You ever eat Yala? Also good.
Yeah, that's also in Canteen.
Right, right, right. Same
they're,
people.
They're by the new
General
location.
Muir. That's the same ownership guys. Okay. Same group, as it were. So I see him there. Like, if I don't ask fucking Usher to be like, I got to.
Yeah.
So he's seen outside, and I walk up to him, and I said, I don't want to disturb you. I said, this is my name, and I'd love to have you. I have a show called The Atlanta Podcast, and I'd love to have you on it. Is there any way we could make that happen?
Okay.
And he said, yeah, here's my manager's name.
Okay.
And he gave it to me, and like he spelled it out, and I was like, okay. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to write this guy, and I'm never going to hear back, but it doesn't matter because at least I asked.
Yeah.
So I wrote the guy, and the guy wrote me right back.
Awesome.
He was like, hey, he's not available now. This was like January. Try me back in March, right? I was like, okay, cool. I tried him back in March. Nothing. I've tried him back a couple times since. Nothing. But I might try a couple more times before I give up.
I mean, why not? And come back and invite me when I'll come hang out with Usher. That seems cool.
Can I tell him you'll bring food?
I will name something on the menu after him. Like, done.
Okay.
Easy. Yeah.
You know what I need, though, for real, talking about collaboration?
Yeah.
Like, I do want to add some, like, video stuff. Do you know anybody that, like, wants to, like, get into, like, making cool videos and, like, would tag along with me and interview somewhat famous and infamous people?
I can ask around. Yeah.
I really need.
Yeah, I don't really know too many people that do that. I mean, there are people that do some videos for us, but usually any video thing, like, they do their own thing. You know, if we're on the news, like, they do their own thing. They have their own crew and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Right.
But I'll look out for it, and that sounds fun.
All right. Well, listen, I will definitely bring my son. I'm going to take you up on the offer. Perfect. To make him the spicy noodle.
Yeah, got it. I mean, anytime, really. Anytime I'm there, let me know, or send me a message.
Is IG the way to get a hold of you?
That's the easiest way, too, because either I'll get it or someone will pass me that message right away. If it's someone calling me on the phone, and I may not be able to pick up because I'm running around.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not close enough to be text buddies yet. That's okay. I won't take it personally.
Definitely. I want to say, you can text me. Yeah. I may not. Like, things,
Instagram, I don't want to put you on the spot,
people,
dude.
People notify me, like, oh, this person messaged you. This person messaged
you.
And I'll be like, all right, okay. Like, that's easy for me.
Right.
But yeah, that's my favorite. And Instagram has been huge for us. So follow us on Instagram at PokeBurry if you don't already. And if your audience has never tried our food, come in and try our food. It's going to be delicious. And people that even don't like really eat sushi or raw things are always excited. And they love what we do and they come back.
That is it. And that is all on 7chan. Thank you again to my main man, John, who introduced me, and for directing us to the good folks at the handpicked Atlanta email list. Please stop what you're doing, because I'm about to ruin. That's a different song. Stop what you're doing and drop me a note, Matt B. Davis at iCloud, Matt B. Davis on any of the social platforms, except Snapchat. I don't check that one very recently. Or ATL Podcast on Instagram. Let me know how you found us, who you like listening to, and you can do that review thing on iTunes too. All right, see you next week. Gotta run.